141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the penultimate fixture card in the Scottish Premiership. Some things have been confirmed. Hibs finished third and St Johnstone are relegated after 16 years in the top flight. Celtic rest players but blow Aberdeen away ahead of the cup final. Elsewhere, Cyril Dessers becomes the top scorer for now in the Scottish Premiership. It's going to go on down to the wire for that playoff spot. Some controversy involving Dundee, and Derek McInnes will not be in the dugout for Kilmarnock this weekend ahead of his move to Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Quite a finish we're having in the Premiership, and commiserations to St Johnstone going down after 16 years. And the fight still goes on for Dundee and Ross County. It's going to come down to the wire. You're right in saying that. For Celtic, it was a bit of a stroll. For Rangers, Daz's man, Dessers, on the score sheet yet again, but changes incoming. So loads of goals across the country, and the end is almost in sight.
Yeah, it was an exciting day last night, Gordon. And the football card, obviously disappointing for St Johnstone. Brilliant for Hibs. Some great goals. But tonight, all about who's going to come out with the best coat that we're sitting with three white t-shirts.
And I'm absolutely devastated by this. I thought you would like leave it a bit to bring it up. I don't know. I don't know what percentage of people listen, you know, on their apps or on radio or whatever, and what percentage of people watch the live stream. But when I walked in here at 5:30 wearing a white t-shirt and saw that you and you were also wearing a white t-shirt, I think it would look less ridiculous if one of us sat here topless to break it up. This is stressing me out.
I know which one the viewers would like to see with it, yeah, the top off. Well, You've got a good tan.
I'm actually thinking about it, but I've got to say,
it looks terrible.
Horrendous.
It looks so bad.
It's club t-shirts now.
Plain white t-shirts.
Yeah. Thank you to Super Scoreboard.
A dreadful boy band we look like here.
Do you know what's worse about it? I can't remember last time I wore a plain white t-shirt. I feel like you two might semi-often.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I've gone for it today, and I really regret it.
Well, at least Gordon, two hours ironed. Somebody's obviously taken his out the case for London last night.
Hold on, look where your neck is. It's nearly like your belly button. What are you doing? Look at the state of your...
This is an autograph.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call. A full fixture card to look back on last night. Some things were confirmed, as we said. St Johnstone down, Hibs third. Well done to them. But whatever you've got from last night, what did you take away from it? Do let us know right now. 0141 951 1025. If that was a rehearsal for the cup final, Aberdeen fans will not be too happy, I suspect. Celtic making all those changes and winning, what did you take away from it, Celtic fans? Is there anyone you think can force their way in, or is there anyone that's even caught your eye? James Forrest, wait for a goal goes on, but he played ever so well. Johnny Kenny getting his first Celtic goal. There was a lot to get through there. Cyril Dessers, the much discussed Cyril Dessers, is now the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership. Did you learn anything else new from Ibrox last night, Rangers fans? Give us a call. What about this Derek McInnes business then? We all knew it was going to play out in slightly awkward circumstances, just in terms of where he was leaving and where he was going and the timing, and Kilmarnock play Hearts at the weekend. So he did take charge of against Motherwell last night. He now will not take charge of Kilmarnock this weekend. So we're going to go their separate ways, and of course we expect him to become the official confirmed manager of Hearts. What do you make of that, Hearts fans, Kelly fans, has it been soured in any way for you over the last couple of days, or do you still sort of wish him well and move on with that in mind? Who's next? And a lot of people mentioning Stephen Naismith. Are there any other names out there, Kelly fans, that you would like to discuss? There was a big refereeing call that seems to have got everyone debating, with Dundee involved last night, a handball shout. So again, give us all your thoughts there. Motherwell fans at home, is that the last time you saw Lennon Miller in Claritin Amber? Loads to get through. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So call us right now, please. It is Thursday night, of course, but since there was a full card, why not? Let's go on Monday night. Okay. You're Roger Hannah.
I'm never Roger Hannah. I'm not
Heat
the
heat. You're Andy Halliday. Give us your result of the weekend. Of the night.
Of the night. I'm going to start simple. I think Celtic going to Pittodrie, where Aberdeen still had a lot to play for. Dress rehearsal for the cup final. Make so many changes. What did they make? 10 changes or something like that? Showing the strength and depth in our squad and blown Aberdeen away. Quite exceptional. It just goes to show you how far ahead they are of everybody, and most of those won't even feature in the cup final next week.
I'm going to go Hibs, and I know that people will be thinking, well, hold on a minute, they were in total control of the game last night. They got off to a perfect start, 2-0. Well done to St Mirren, pegging them back, and then that well-discussed goal that was chopped off that would have probably lost them the game. But it was all about getting the point. It was all about finishing third. What season they've had, where they've came from. So with everything added into the pot, Gordon, I think Hibs deserve it.
Goal of the night goes to,
for me, Graham Carey, free kick. Now, he's been told, I think, that he's, is he on his way from St Johnstone this season? And an outstanding strike. Now, he scored one against Livy in the Scottish Cup from open play, and he's done it throughout his career, but what a fantastic strike in off the post.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. There was a few last night for me. You look at Celtic's game, a lot of good goals. A terrific team goal from Rangers, Raskin. You know, from their own half all the way up. Great finish as well. But look, Fir Park last night, Callum Slattery. Motherwell fans will not see a better goal. Better team goal. Brilliant play. Into the striker. Laid back. Takes his touch. Finishes it. So I'm going for my hometown tonight, and I'll give it to Motherwell.
Howler of the evening.
For me, it's up at Dens. Penalty kick.
Handball.
Handball. Now, I get it hit his hand. I get his hand was high, but for a penalty to be given for that is so harsh. So harsh, it's unbelievable. And it cost Dundee a point, it saved Ross County, it relegated St Johnstone. Such a huge decision with so many implications. I think that should not have been a penalty.
Yeah, okay. I can't look away from...
What do you think briefly on that? Because we can get a good debate going on the phones if you wish.
I take everything on board, but when I see the still frame, his hand is very, very high. And I think the modern day game, these are given against you. I can see why it was given.
Wow.
At the beginning, I've got to say, I was bang on with Mark. I'm thinking it's never a penalty, it's a disgrace. And a lot of pundits have joined in with that opinion. But when you see where his hand is, now the sort of a reason people say, well, he's falling back. Initially, you have to get your hands up to get a bit of balance. But his hand's so high in the air. So if it's so high in the air and it comes off it, I can see why it was given.
I know his hand's so high in the air, but there's a lot that happens within that little interaction where he's off balance, falling back, it's close proximity. Understand penalty's been given for high in the air and people sometimes using it as leverage and balance, but he's not even facing the ball, he's falling backwards. It's, again, so close to him that I thought it was so harsh. And again, it has so many there's so much fallout from that decision. He'll tuck that away brilliantly, but it's a big decision, that.
Okay, well, listen, if you want to weigh in on the argument, please do. What are we left with? Your
Howler.
Your Howler.
Oh,
of the,
there's only one place to go. You go up to Pittodrie, Aberdeen. Mark touched on it, the amount of changes that Celtic made, and they were so comfortable. Another five, Gordon. If you're an Aberdeen supporter just now looking at that, you're thinking, is it worth the trip coming down to the final next week? It will need to be a remarkable turnaround for me. So I'm sorry, as a total, as a club, I am giving it to Aberdeen, because you cannot put a performance in like that and get turned over the way they get turned over against a team that's basically will be 10 changes next week, maybe round about that, and you're playing them in the cup final. So Aberdeen for me.
Top man, top performer.
I'm going to touch on what Daz said. Look, there was loads that you could pick. I think David Gray deserves it for what he's been through at the start of the season, to stay resolute, to keep the head, for Hibs to actually back him, but to deliver result after result, culminating in last night finishing third place, is an incredible achievement. So hats off to David Gray and Hibs.
Look, what I've seen in the highlights last night, I thought that James Forrest was absolutely brilliant at Pittodrie. Unfortunately, he's not got that goal yet that I think everybody's desperate on, especially if you're a Celtic supporter, to get. But the main man for me, only one place to go, Cyril Dessers. The man I told you from day one will end up top goal scorer in Scotland, and he's even taking the penalty kicks now. So Dessers for me all day.
0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck in with Stephen, who's on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, panel.
How's it going? What did you make of last night then?
Another good performance for Celtic. Just what you expect, because you get into the kind of the last two games of the season. Obviously, the league's done, and we've got the cup final next. It's good to maybe play Aberdeen before it to see how they kind of feel it out. The Celtic team last night was obviously quite a kind of mixed match. Brendan had obviously put in some players that aren't probably starting every week or whatever, but I thought the team played really, really well. I'll give you the Celtic point and then we can go to the other one. My first point was about Sean McArdle. I think his movement looked really good. I think he looks like a really good young player, but is this going to be another player that essentially gets tempted away by the championship or the agents, or we can get you a wee bit more money somewhere else, and then we don't really see any movement in it?
What did you make of him, first of all? Was it the last 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, he does look the part, and you can quite clearly see how he's been coached, and he's obviously came through the system. Typical sort of player that Celtic would look for. So he looks very pleasing on the eye, always looking to play forward and link the play. So, yeah, really good. Is it going to be another one that's tempted by down south? Well, I don't know. That depends on the player. Because I think Celtic try their best. They develop these players and then they try their best to keep them. But players are quite easily swayed, first and foremost by probably the pay packet. And then the promise that there's a easier route into English football, probably the Premier League. The Premier League is probably the goal. So for Daniel Kelly, he might have seen it as, I'm going to get game time and then develop quicker in England and maybe then take the step up then, rather than stay with Celtic. Vata, maybe the same. But you just don't know. Personally, the advice are given, that all comes into play. But I think McArdle getting his chance and Brendan Rodgers playing him, it shows you how highly they think him.
At the same time, Gordon, it's the penultimate game of the league season. He remains, what we're talking, Celtic's seventh choice central midfielder or something. You know, if that's to be the case next season, that's the difficulty, isn't it? I know it's a frustrating word in football these days, and Mark's a youth team coach sometimes. Now he's a first team coach. You know, pathway. You know what does it look like? And I'm not saying players right, Celtic's wrong, or Celtic are right and the players wrong. But it's clearly difficult. You can come on for 10 minutes there and be good. Does that? Can you then, though, become the fifth choice central midfielder, maybe even? And then you're getting the odd game here and there.
It's a difficult one because the lad will probably want to stay at Celtic. He'll want to be involved in the first team. He'll want to be a first team regular. But I totally take on board what Mark's saying about the agents and the players looking at different options down south, where it's a championship or abroad, and Celtic end up losing young talent. Because if you're that lad, he come on last night, he looked very confident, I've got to say, some lovely touches, looks like he's going to have a brilliant career in front of him. But when you're looking at what Celtic have got in front of you, you've got to be exceptional now to get in the middle of the park for Celtic. Now, you either sit there and say, do you know what, I believe my own ability, I think of working under a manager that if I keep showing him day in, day out, and every time I get an opportunity to go in the park, then he will give me that opportunity in the long term to go and show what I'm all about. But I totally understand now it's completely different, because years and years ago when I played, if the centre-forward got injured, it was the number one centre-forward. You were a reserve centre-forward waiting to get in. You went in and played and was given an opportunity. It's not like that now. Look at the squad Celtic's got. Look at the talent, international players. Brendan Rodgers has got to manage that, because there's a lot of important games throughout the season. I'm sure every Celtic fan liked the look of this boy. For instance, there last night, Kenny gets his goal as well. What a confidence booster that is for him.
How do you think, Stephen, you tick all these boxes? Because let's just say it was the exact same squad next season. I don't necessarily think it will be, but let's just say the exact same squad. Luke McCowan deserves game time and Paulo Bernardo deserves game time, and you're saying Sean McArdle deserves the appropriate game time to keep him here, or, you know, or play a part in that decision. How do you manage all of that?
It's obviously, that's obviously a kind of a hard decision to make, because the players that you've kind of obviously named there, Paulo Bernardo and Luke McCowan, both have been really, really good this year. Obviously, Bernardo was injured for a good bit, and McCowan, overall, I would say this year, he's been a solid addition to the team. So it's obviously hard trying to juggle that, the young player getting game time, but there's also probably young-ish players in Bernardo and McCowan, because they're obviously no 17, that are improving a lot more because they're a bit older, they've got a lot more experience, they're a bit more battle-hardened, so to say. And obviously the Celtic model is they build up these players and then potentially they sell them on for big money and then rinse and repeat, do it again. So I think that's obviously the hard part. And as Mark kind of mentioned, Daniel Kelly's obviously one of them that went away. Rocco Vatt is another one that left. It's obviously that kind of thing. These guys obviously want a bit more first team playing time and game time, but they're not always maybe going to get it because they are further than the pecking order than the younger guys.
I think Brendan Rodgers highlighted it perfectly when those players left. Mm-hmm. That he highlighted that it's got to be a matter of patience with young players. That it's okay getting your opportunity and doing the hard yards to get in around the squad and then impressing in training and then getting your 10 minutes. But you got to realise that that doesn't make you a first team player. You have to be patient. And, you know, guys like Sean McArdle have got great role models.
And he is only 17.
Yeah, but he has to look at guys like Callum McGregor and James Forrest. Now, I was at the club with Callum McGregor and I would never have imagined that Callum would have been a centre midfielder and the captain of Celtic at that point, because he played out wide and he went out on loan, and, you know, there was a journey there to get him to where he is. So for McArdle to look at guys like that, James Forrest may be slightly different. Neil Lennon flung him in, he took to it like a duck to water, and he was there as a winger, electric, and it's a bit different when you're playing in that position. But the centre of the pitch, you have to be patient because it's quite heavily clogged by international stars at Celtic.
It's such a balancing act, isn't it? You know, because if John McArdle's only 17 and we're kind of lumping him in maybe with somebody that's 19 or 20, you know, it's not the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
but 17's a kid.
We're kind of lumping it all together. But, you know, if, let's say, a Mystery Academy product, then whoever he may be, maybe is a bit older.
The only thing I'll
can Celtic, and again, I'm not saying, because the player has to earn it as well, you know, yeah. So I'm not saying Celtic just gift this, but in an ideal world, surely if you can get someone who is at that level, he becomes like the Luke McCowan one. Do you know what I mean? In like the pecking order, do you need, you know, over the piece? A few questions here. If you don't have an academy product at that level, then maybe there is something. Maybe there's an issue there.
Academy, yeah.
But can you find that way in?
The only thing I will say about that is you're now at the situation with Celtic, and they're only going to improve in this. You look at they brought in Matt O'Reilly and sold him for so much money, it was unbelievable, and turned him into a top player, and they went down to English Premiership with Brighton. If you're a young kid, whether you're 17, 18, 19, 20, you will need to be exceptional to break in and be the number one midfield player in there with the three, whether it's to replace Cal McGregor in years to come, or, you know, maybe Hatate moves on or whatever. But you'll have to be exceptional, because Celtic will keep bringing in quality players.
And that's how they make themselves better, by this depth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then it's back to, are the players good enough? We go round and round, but it's a good point, Stephen. Thank you very much. 01419511025. What did you take away from last night at Pittodrie or Ibrox or elsewhere? The Derek McInnes situation, who Kilmarnock's next manager should be, the penalty call involving Dundee. There is a lot to get through, so give us a call, please, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, please. That is the number that you need, looking back on last night and various other talking points if you so wish. Yes, for those of you watching the live stream, We've all come wearing matching plain white t-shirts and we look ridiculous. I know, but it just, it is what it is. We're stuck here now. Unless someone wants to go to Clydebank Shopping Centre and get some alternative outfits.
Medium, just take your top off. That's
a medium for me. Look,
that's not a medium. That's like a bed sheet. A lot that of thing you're sporting.
A lot of fan mail. At least mine's is white.
But you also came straight. Did you come straight from the airport? You and I were in London last night at the big awards bash.
How did we do?
Robbed.
Bronze.
We lost the category we were in. I kind of forgot. I hadn't looked into it in advance. The category was for best event coverage. So it was our coverage of Euro 2024. And we lost out to the proms. BBC Proms.
Right?
So imagine, no, right? Imagine for a minute the judge is going through all the award entries and he's listening at the BBC Proms, he or she, and then they move on to the next entry and it's him ziplining across the stadium in Munich and being sick in front of a German family.
So was that the footage?
So not to do down the industry leading awards, but how are you comparing those two? Do you know what I mean? They seem like very different criteria.
Yeah. Who's voting on that?
But anyway,
it was a great day.
It was a good trip. But this guy, you know, I said before, like, in the nicest way, why is he going? It just doesn't seem, nothing's up his street. He doesn't, he only likes golfing and one or two select other pastimes.
Yeah.
It was just never likely to be up his street, right? So I want you to imagine this, filed into a big theatre in London, Leicester Square, red carpet.
Oh, that sounds good.
All the big hitters in the industry are there.
Yeah.
You sit the awards. Now, stay with me arithmetic wise, there's about 20 categories, I would say, right?
Yeah.
And a minimum of 6 nominees in each category, minimum. So we're at 120 nominees plus. So it's about 100, I'd say about 150 nominees throughout the course of the night. So the awards start, literally, there you go, start the clock, and then read the first nominee, and people go, woo, and cheer. And then the second one, and he turns to me after the second out of 150 nominees and goes, it's not going to be like this all night, is it? And I'm like, what do you mean? Because they better stop cheering. Are they going to keep cheering all night? Of course they are. So sure enough, 2 hours later, they're still whooping and cheering for everyone. He is, his head was gone.
Was it in a cinema? A big cinema? So you're sitting in a cinema seat?
Mm-hmm. No, the quote the night was, I'm sitting next to him, and it was really annoying me after two or three, right? It wasn't cheering, it was, oh, right.
Two or three out of 150, right? Bear that in mind.
Now, remember, at this time, he obviously doesn't touch the alcohol. I'd not even had a beer or so. He just turns around and looks at me straight face and he went, just you go to sleep.
That would be a good decision.
By the way, that's good advice. And did you stay awake?
No, I held on.
Well, well done, guys. Well done in representing us. But
he clung on.
Third place.
Much more to come from last night.
Oh, good. More stories.
You better believe it.
Oh, yes.
Rio is on the line. How are you, Rio?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. What did you take away from last night's games then?
I took that Naroki, I don't know if that's his name, but I think he should be starting ahead of Scales and Trusty. Like, he's not played a lot of football, but even when he makes a mistake, I'm not even nervous. Like, there was one near the end of the half where I think he took a heavy touch and he went through one of the Aberdeen players, and I wasn't nervous looking at that. Because I knew that he was just going to win the tackle, whereas I don't have that confidence with Scales or Trusty.
I feel like every time he comes in, Mark, we get calls like this, but then he doesn't come in that often, or he doesn't stay in. So is Rio on to something?
Well, he's an odd one, Naroski. Again, I'll go back to that. I've always liked what I've seen him. But you're right, Gordon, to highlight that I see that little of him that, you know, it's hard to get a complete picture of what's going on there because some of these games he comes into, maybe it's like this, Celtic are expected to win, does he really get tested? But I like his attributes, he took his goal well, showed the aggression, but why does he not get included much more than he does? There must be a reason behind that.
What about the balance centre half pairings and who plays what side and all that stuff? Does that come into it?
Do you think I'm scoring his first goal in it last night? So obviously that gives you a bit of confidence. Look, I didn't really take to him. I know Mark always backed him up, but every time I see him now, I think he's getting better. I think he's getting used to Scottish football. It'd be a big call when the cup final comes along.
He's not going to play in the cup final.
That's what I'm saying. It would be a big, big call. I think it's probably scaled.
It's a really small call then.
A middle-sized call, right? Okay, it would be a call. I just feel that he will not play in the cup final, but I think he's doing himself no harm just now because, as Rio says there, I think there's a lot of Celtic supporters starting to sit back and think, this lad's not the worst we've seen.
Mark, again, I'm not going to dwell too much on Celtic criticism when they win so convincingly, and get so much plaudits for last night. In real time, and I was trying to keep an eye on the game last night and watching it come in, I feel like Trustee maybe got a bit of stick for the goal conceded. Would that be right? Did I pick that up wrong from my social media?
Well, maybe had a part in it. I thought
Schlupp
was questionable. But again, the Celtic fans loved what they saw of Schlupp because he was a new replacement for Greg Taylor. But I think he's been pretty average since then. So again, the importance of Taylor and Tierney, I think, for your left-back position. But Navroski, he's up for one position. And that's really it, because Carter Vickers has got that other one sewn up. When you sign someone like Trusty for $6 million, you're of course further down the pecking order. Scales has done great. Anytime Scales comes in, I think he does a good job. So again, you're fighting those two for that one position. But you can only do what you can do when you're given the opportunity. And I think he's shown that he's more than capable should Celtic need him.
Rio, can you see it next season? Can you see him being a part of it in a serious way? Because I know you're impressed, and so is Mark, and I'm sure so are others. That was his third league appearance of the season last night.
Well, see, if I'm honest, I can't see it, but I would love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at when he came in against Rangers, out of the cold, wasn't even meant to play. Dane Murray got injured the day before, and I would even say, I know he's no better than Carter Vickers, but I would even say he was better than Carter Vickers on that day. Like, there was he made a goal-saving challenge off the line in the first half where Cerny takes it round the keeper, and he's there. Like, I know he's not the fastest, but he's good. You know what I mean? I know Rodgers or a few Celtic fans have said he's not the fastest, but if you can do that, then you don't need the other pace in the world. Like, Carter Vickers, he's not the fastest, but he's by far the best defender we've got and could probably sell him for.
He was probably Celtic. I totally agree with Rio. I think he was one of Celtic's best players on that day. I think he really stood out. He's up against, look, Trusty, a part of the season was Carter Vickers. It was Carter Vickers and Trusty. And in Europe, the two of them played very well as a defensive pair. They've been doing okay. Then all of a sudden, Trusty goes off the boil a bit, makes a few mistakes. I think Trusty just needs to concentrate a little bit more on domestic football. For some reason, he looks a little bit slack. I don't know why. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will address that with him. Then Scales comes in, and I think Scales gets a raw deal. I think every time Scales comes in, he plays well for Celtic, or he contributes. He's a threat to set plays as well. But he's just got to keep doing the same things. Every time he's got his opportunity, that's what you have to do when you're in a squad of Celtic. When you get the opportunity, make sure you make it a good one and keep yourself in the manager's thoughts.
But again, Mark, if Rio's point about the Old Firm game and the way that Brendan Rodgers speaks about him, is Dane Murray ahead of Mike Navrotsky in Brendan Rodgers' mind for the start of next season? And would you even put it beyond Celtic trying to sign another?
I wouldn't put it beyond them to try and sign another. And again, that then is a decision for the player. Now, clubs obviously have to balance the books. Celtic's no different, even though they've got plenty of cash in the bank, but they can't carry as big a squad. So that might be something that might move in the summer. But I think if he is going to move on, again, he's done himself no harm with his performances when he came in. I would agree with Rio and Daz against Rangers. I thought he was excellent. But it's just too few and far between. And there must be a reason, because the guys that pick the team and the bench and the full squad see him every day, and they don't include him more often than not. So it's a strange one. It's a strange day. I know he suffered with injuries and they were managing him, and he gets back and he was breaking down, but he's back fit now, but he's never included a lot.
Thank you, Rio. What about Ibrox last night, Rangers fans? Is there anything left to learn? You've got Cyril Dessers now the top scorer in the league. Does that accolade, if you can see it out to the end of the season, does it change your feelings on him in any way? Or, you know, where do you sit? He's been discussed a lot this season. Was that Barry Ferguson's last home game in charge? Is it as simple as that? I think he said something along the lines of "you never know" or "never say never." So how do you feel about it? If you call us right now, I'll tell you about this first. I actually feel bad. I regret when I refer to this as over half a million pounds, because whilst technically correct, £533,000 is miles over half a million pounds. It is an incredible amount of money, and it could be yours very, very soon. Text YES to 61025. Text R250 plus your standard network rate, or for a huge 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate, over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close at 5pm tomorrow. Do not run out of time. Just answer your phone. £533,000. Gordon Dale, the way to think about it is that gets you at least three rounds of drinks in London. Based on price.
Hold on, and a portion of chips. 15 quid.
For chips?
Chips and cheese. Oh,
14. Don't exaggerate.
Oh, sorry, 14.
Anyway, text YES to 61025. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. Lots of real deserved harsh criticism coming in about us wearing these matching white t-shirts.
That was always going to happen, wasn't it?
It's a real low point for the live streaming element of the show.
It's anyway, a summer's day out there.
0141 951 1025. I'm still going to unleash my favourite story about you in London last night.
No, I don't think you should.
But what I'm trying to do, I need to find a way of presenting it in a PG way that obviously this family
good.
Show
is it rude?
It's so, no, it,
of course
sort
it is
of.
With him involved.
Just, do you know what? For once
I wasn't involved.
I don't really even hold it against him.
Oh right,
I
okay.
Honestly, but I need to. There are key phrases and words that make the story what it is that just can't be said. So give me time. I'll get there. I'm writing a few notes down. Lorraine,
oh, I know the story.
Lorraine is on the line. How are you, Lorraine?
I know, bad. Thanks, guys.
What are you thinking tonight?
Just about Dessers, obviously, we kind of know the stick that he gets throughout the season. But even now, like after last night, obviously he's got his 50 goals over the two seasons for us, but it's still not good enough for some Rangers fans. Still today, like on the socials and stuff like that, I'm kind of discussing with some folk, and it's still that people think that he's still not good enough. And if we didn't have him, because my kind of point is that if we let him go, are we guaranteed to bring in somebody that will kind of get the numbers, like, do you know, again? But it's still people are thinking, no, somebody else will do better. But we're no guaranteed for somebody else to do better. I kind of feel like if there was maybe a bit more for other players around him, then probably his misses and stuff are not as highlighted. I kind of think as well that if he's hitting even 10% more of the chances that he's missing, he's not going to be at Rangers either.
Gordon, look, in many ways we've had this exact debate loads, but there's something just sort of becomes solidified when he's the top scorer in the league. Now granted, it's by one currently. I don't know how many Maeda will score, or Simon Murray, or even somehow Martin Boyle at the weekend. Cyril Dessers is one ahead of Maeda and Murray. There is just something a bit, it makes the argument a bit more extreme when you're saying, is the top scorer in the league good enough? You know, it adds to it, doesn't it?
But I'm like Lorraine, it baffles me. We've had the conversation about, well, how many chances. I watched the highlights last night, Gordon. Now, okay, one's apparently, he scores a good goal. Every single chance he was involved in, his movement's very, very good indeed. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. If, as you say, Rangers fans, they look at him, not them all, I'm not putting them all in the same bracket here. Rangers fans look at him and all they can do is talk negative about chances. That's all they can do. Instead, they enjoy the guy for what he's bringing. And he's bringing goals. Yeah. And listen, he'd done it last season as well. Scored goals for Rangers last season. He's now repeated that this season, and what you would probably say not the greatest Rangers team, because the league table shows how far Celtic in front
of you. But why is it then? So Lorraine's given us her theory about not enough people, you know, supporting him or helping him out, but there must be something. Rangers fans haven't randomly decided to be really harsh on one of their own players who's the top scorer. You just don't do that. There is something that's happening that's causing that reaction.
Because they're frustrated because of the way he puts himself into positions they think he should be scoring. So you look at Desers last night, I'll guarantee you, Rangers fan will come on here. Yeah, he scored two last night, but he should have scored four. Right? I played with the greatest Rangers goal scorer in his early part of his career, Alan McCoys. Yeah. And let me tell you something now, if Alan McCoys had taken all his chances, he'd have scored
two, three times
more.
That's what I'm saying, Mark. Maybe I'm asking for too much here, but it's not the same as that. It can't be the same as that. For whatever, there must be a reason. Is it then that just he's been let down by his teammates? Is it the type of misses, maybe, versus just missing chances? Is it the games in which he misses those chances, the times at which he misses them? There must be something, because if it was just, every striker misses chances, why is this guy getting so much stick?
I think it is the nature of the chances that he misses. I think that's what it boils down to, and particularly early on in his Rangers career, because you get, you know, something sticks to you right away. You get known early in your career. If you're a winger and you use your pace to jink by people, that often sticks with you. He's a flying winger. If you're a striker who scores the amount of goals in the penalty box, he's a penalty box striker. Those little tags stick with you. And I think it became quite quickly for Dessers, he misses chances. And technically, when he gets into those glaring opportunities, he maybe doesn't connect right with him. And that's stuck with him. And it doesn't matter what he does. Now, it doesn't matter that he's top goal scorer. There is a section of the Rangers support that's always going to hold that against him. And it's a hard one to shake off. And I've seen in social media, and I've heard other people say, Rangers have a lot bigger problems in their starting 11 than Cyril Dessers. But Cyril Dessers carries the can for the rest of them. He carries the stick in his shoulders well.
See, unless the right money come in, Mark, the right money, and every player's got their value, right? Every player. Rangers would be crazy to let him go out the door.
Do you agree with that, Lorraine? I take it, because you know you're such a fan, but at the same time, he's 30 years of age, and if he's had as good a season as you think he has, then you might actually be able to sell him on, or is that too much of a risk?
No, I think, to be honest, I think as well, part of the problem is, see, because Rangers have been so poor the last couple of seasons and unsuccessful in terms of silverware, see, if it had been different, then probably Rangers fans wouldn't even bother about the chances he misses, because it doesn't matter, we're still winning kind of thing. So I think that's part of the problem as well. But see, at the same time, for me, don't get me wrong, like, I'm a fan of the guy, but I get frustrated, you know, just like the next person when he misses some of the chances that he does. But see, at the same time, I don't know, is it too much of a risk? Because, you know, for talk's sake, right, the whole Lauren Shanklin thing, had he come into Rangers, it's like, you know, like that deal or no deal where it's like they offer you the money, but actually you might have something more in your box. So with Cyril Dessers, I mean, over the last two seasons, that's 50 goals, so like 25 a season. Are we guaranteed to get that if we let him go for X amount, but then try and bring in another striker? We're no guaranteed to get that again.
I think Lorraine makes a brilliant point there on the fact that if Rangers had been winning trophies, I don't think we're having this conversation. Right, Rangers fans are frustrated because they look at sometimes and think, yeah, if he can just keep the chances, we can maybe go on and be successful and win more trophies and whatever, and they're putting everything at Dessers because he's the number nine. But his numbers stack up, Gordon, right? You look at a guy, 50 goals in two seasons. It's a great return, absolutely great return. So I think she makes a good point there in the fact that 100%, if Rangers had been winning trophies here and there, I don't think we'd have this conversation.
Is there any part of it, Mark, and I'm just sort of now searching around for other factors that maybe need to come into it, that if you've got a guy who plays a different style, has more of an impact in the overall way that the team functions, where you sacrifice a couple of goals, but it actually allows you to become a better team and then allows you to contest for more trophies?
Maybe in terms of his link-up play and stuff like that, maybe he could be better. But then Lorraine makes a point. He certainly wouldn't be at Rangers. He wouldn't be in this league if he could link up and score 20-plus goals a season. And by the way, he's a goal scorer who works hard for the team. Now, I think that's harder to get that a goal scorer, we commented on him in the European games, and some of those away performances, Rangers got great results. And we highlighted Desser's work rate from the first line, and he set the tone for that. So it's not as if he's a lazy player. It's not as if he doesn't give his all. It's not as if he stands about the penalty area just waiting for 10 chances to fall to him and he puts one away. He works his socks off for the team and he does miss chances, but he scores a lot of goals. I think if you're at Rangers or Celtic as a striker and you score 20 plus in a season, you have done your job. And it's up to others round about him to pitch in with goals. Maybe if they did, Rangers would be much closer to Celtic.
Suppose one of the other success stories in an attacking department this season, Lorraine, would be Vaclav Černý. Did that feel like a goodbye, do you think? You know, I know obviously he's on loan, but was that a goodbye last night, him at Ibrox?
I definitely think so. I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously with the takeover and everything coming in, there's probably a more realistic question to be asked that, you know, like, would we bring him back? But at the same time, it definitely looked like it last night. He's probably one of the ones where there's definitely a talent there. He's definitely good quality, but it's whether there's, obviously we're trying to kind of start this model where we're bringing in players for, like, nose expensive and then trying to develop and then kind of sell them on type of thing. And we need to get that right at some point. So are we going to go out there and spend the £6 million that they're looking for to bring him back?
I like him. I think he's had a good season. I think he brings a lot to Rangers. I think, once again, Lorraine's talking about, is Rangers prepared to go out and invest in money? Along with the £6 million, he'll probably be demanding a very high wage as well. He's at that age that in a couple of years, there's no sell on really value that you're going to get back for him. It just depends how the new owners see Rangers going forward as a club. He's certainly got the ability. I think the Rangers fans would love to see him staying, but it's just down to how the new owners decide to go forward with the club next season.
Thank you, Lorraine. Let's hear a bit from Cyril Dessers. He says hitting the 50 goal mark is a special feeling, but he's determined to help the club win trophies next season.
Yeah, that's a very special feeling. 50 goals in two seasons. Yeah, it makes me very proud to achieve this milestone for a big club like Rangers in the first place. Yeah, and to do it at Ibrox in a game you win is obviously very, very nice feeling. I think my ambitions are clear. I want this season been very bumpy, and I want to do better myself. I want to do better as a team. I want to win trophies, and if they need me, I will be there. That's very painful because obviously when you score this number of goals, you hope you can keep something in your hands as well. But yeah, this will only give more fuel for the summer to work hard in the summer and go again and never give up. I think that's something that you have to say as a team. Whatever happened, we never gave up. But we know we need to do better, and we will hopefully do that.
Everything about Rangers is uncertain because of don't know who the manager is, don't know what the takeover looks like. So with a couple of days left, sorry, for Rangers of the season, you do just wonder what his future looks like.
If it was me, I would be looking at his numbers, not the chances he's missing, and I would certainly keep him because I think he's capable. If you put better players in there again, in my opinion, if Desers had played with Celtic this season, he'd have had a lot more goals. So I still think there's a lot of mileage still left in him. I think Mark was touching on the point that you've seen him in the European games away from home. I thought he was a team player. He worked hard for the team. He didn't just know the old days of being a poacher, just wanted to hang about the 18. That he would prepare to do his running. I think he could be a big part of Rangers going forward. I know he's at that age just now, but he's a goal scorer. And you've got to have them in your team if you're going to be anywhere near successful.
Doogie says any decent striker scores goals at Rangers. It's about their overall play. If he had better overall play, other players around him would score and Rangers would have one more. We'll leave it there for now because it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it's Beat the Pundit time. You know, on a Thursday night, anything is possible. So give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, and please do. We're looking back on last night, a full fixture card in the Premiership, and one which drew a line under one or two issues. Hibs have finished third, and well done to you Hibs fans. Come on, celebrate with us. Let us know how good it was. St Johnston fans, it would be nice to hear from you, just to see how you're feeling. 16 years in the top flight, coming to an end, heading for the Championship next season. But today, confirmed with Simo Vallecari at the helm. Is that something that pleases you, or would you rather have gone for a change? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Very keen tonight to hear from Kilmarnock and Hearts fans, because Derek McInnes is going to become the next Hearts manager. He was in the dugout for Kilmarnock last night, who have since issued a statement to say he will not be in the dugout this weekend. How are you feeling, Killy fans? Is you kind of soured by this whole experience? Is it just inevitable? Is it understandable? And Hearts fans as well, wade in. Let us know how you would sum it all up, please, if you can. Now would be a great chance to do that, actually. So call us right now and we'll get you on after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You've lost three in a row.
Two.
Three now?
Two.
It's not.
Three in a row.
You lost
and
on
you're
Tuesday.
Feeling a bit jaded today, aren't you?
I'll be three tonight.
Lost on Tuesday and then twice last week.
No, nightmare. Don't think that's
And you've been on the lash in London last night. Aye. You got off the flight in Glasgow this afternoon, came straight here, slept in the office, and now
what a professional. So that's good going. That's rock and roll, isn't it?
Preparation is there.
Rock and roll. I can't believe I couldn't make it.
Oh, we missed you.
I would have loved that. Leicester Square.
We missed you.
Mission Impossible Premier was in there.
No, tonight. Is, so they get the Dazzler one night and Tom Cruise the next. No difference.
The Londoners will be chuffed at that. You sure you've seen Tom?
I think he was staying. I thought he was in a.
Bear in mind, you were in a travel lodge, so I don't think you've seen him.
He was in one of the big rooms.
the double bed.
In case you couldn't tell, last thing I heard from him checking out this morning, you know, he's a complainer, complaining no iron in his room. He said, that was the last thing I heard him say to the reception.
It's good that you found that brick roti iron that way. After that, jeez.
The heat of the body, the heat of the body.
I think I've got a rough PG version of this story about my
wife. Can't wait to hear.
No offence, it's not even so much for the listeners. Well, it is, but I want you to hear it.
Right.
But anyway,
okay.
Let's play Beat the Pundit with Aidan. How are you, Aidan?
Yeah, I'm all good. How are you guys?
I love this, Aidan. Perfect timing, perfect company. Which team do you support?
Partick Thistle.
Yes, Aidan.
Well, you might not be saying that after my next question. How's he done, Aidan, over the piece?
I think he's done well, but I think a new manager next season would be better.
Right. By the way, John in there cut Aidan off just now. Aidan, hang up.
He totally rushed through that. I think he's done well, but he couldn't get to the butt quick enough.
There's nothing like honesty in this job.
Yeah, a wee bit of confidence booster.
That's
for
right.
Tomorrow.
I can't wait
till
tomorrow night. Thanks, Aidan.
What if he pulls off the unthinkable and turns this around?
I still think we'll need a new manager.
So hold on.
Who put this guy through?
Do you guys think back there of the feelings of our pundits? So
hold on, Aidan.
If you,
I'm working 12 hours days to get Thistle. And you're still wanting to bump
you
me.
If you guide them to the playoffs, the Premiership, it still won't be enough.
He's telling me I'm in at 7 every morning, I'm leaving at this time.
And then you get guys like Aidan Tricklin and
he's still the under 18s manager as well, Aidan. Knocking his
pan. But you want me sacked for that as well, Aidan?
Yeah.
That's the thanks you get in
Aidan,
this game.
Aidan,
that's
obviously recognise
you
you're not up to it.
Anyway, let's see.
I hope I give me him and beat the pundit.
Oh, he's going to war with the Thistle fans the night before the playoffs. Oh, that'll be good.
I know, there'll be a banner up tomorrow.
Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon Dalziel. And it is some things are just meant to be. It's heads. Mark Wilson up against Aidan.
Oh, well, you better win now.
From Kill winning.
He's raging.
Take care, Aidan.
I'm actually on Mark's side for once. Right, 30 seconds. We'll just give Mark something else to listen to, Aidan. You answer as many as you can, and you're fine to pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, all good.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What nationality is Jeremy Frimpong?
German.
Before Neil Critchley, who was Hearts' last non-Scottish manager?
Pass.
Which team were confirmed as third in the Premiership last night?
Hibs.
Who do Scotland Women's play in their next game? Scotland Women's team?
Germany.
Name any player sent off in the Premiership last night?
Pass.
Who's the current Airdrie manager?
Pass.
Who's the Scottish Premiership's top scorer currently?
Thistles.
Okay, let's bring him back. Mark Wilson, co-manager of Partick Thistle. Not for long. Faden has his way.
Yeah.
You ready?
How did he?
You're all over him.
30 seconds right on the clock. Give your time starts now. What nationality is Jeremy Frimpong?
Dutch.
Before Neil Critchley, who was Hearts' last non-Scottish manager?
Stendel.
Which team were confirmed as third in the Premiership Hibs last night? Who does Scotland women's team play in their next game?
Croatia.
Name any player sent off in the Premiership last night.
Donington.
Who is the current manager of Airdrie?
Rhys McCabe.
Who is currently the Scottish Premiership's top scorer?
Dessers.
For how many seasons in a row has James Forrest scored a goal?
15.
Okay.
Right, Aidan, what do you think? You need to have won this, Aidan. After you've given him a real hard time, you need to beat him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm one off. I knew Rhys McCabe, but I just can't get out my mouth.
Oh, did you, Aidan? That's unlucky.
You need to tread carefully here. Aidan could be behind the dugout tomorrow.
But, by the way, I've never seen him concentrate.
He's
sitting staring right
all
into
my knowledge here. Right, give us it.
Right. Nationality of Jeremy Frimpong, Dutch.
I was wrong right away.
1-0, Mark Wilson.
That's good, Jeremy.
I think the last non-Scottish Hearts manager before Neil Critchley was Daniel Stendel. 2-0, Mark Wilson.
Boom!
Aidan got Hibs for third, but so did you. None of you knew that Austria is the next opponent for Scotland women's team. The squad was announced today. Captain Rachel Corsi back in after injury. The players sent off last night were Robbie Dees of Kilmarnock. Against your team, Mother, any complaints? It was a typical benign and obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Definite red card.
Or Alfie Dorrington of Aberdeen.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Mark, Aidan. Got any complaints? Similar, actually, was it? Similar?
Yeah. It's a bit, no complaints, but okay. Aidan never got that.
He didn't. 4-1 to Mark.
Oh, hang up, Aidan.
5-1
because. Embarrassed yourself.
5-1 because Rhys McCabe is the Airdrie manager. He did know that Cyril Dessers is the top scorer, but so did Mark. Was it 6-2?
That's what you call right convincing.
Are you going to the game tomorrow night, Aidan?
I will be, but I don't think I'm
going to
go anymore.
you're going without a ball.
Well done to you, Mark. Did you say 15 consecutive seasons?
Yeah.
I thought
he's
it was 16 as well.
He's
going for 16. Got mixed up. So, yep, well done, 15. It's a 7-2 win for Mark Wilson.
Oh, so close, Aidan. So close.
No, you're about to step over the line. This is the life of football management. You have to maintain a level
of dignity
and respect even when you don't get it
good
in return.
Good try, Aidan. Good try,
mate. No,
it's a pleasure playing.
Don't patronise him
either. What am I supposed to say?
Give him it tight. That's what I'd do. He deserves every bit of it. I'm telling you now.
I was happy with my own performance here, Aidan.
Good. Well done.
Were you happy with yours, Aidan?
Aidan, can you find it within yourself to wish him well for tomorrow?
Yeah, I wish you well. Don't worry, I wish you well.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. That means a lot. It does.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Do you think they can? Oh, no, I'm wasting my. He's going to say no. Mark, do you think?
He is going to say
he's
no.
He's definitely going to say no. Obviously, I'm not going to patronise you, but it was a disappointing night in the first leg and 2-0 down. How are you feeling going into tomorrow?
Obviously, a lot to do. I mean, that's stating the obvious, isn't it? No ideal losing the first leg 2-0. It wasn't ideal losing the first leg of the air game 1-0. Again, two similarish performances against Ayr and Livi. The obvious difference is they get that second goal. And by the way, if I'm being totally honest, they could have made it 3 shortly after. They had chance after chance, and we didn't take our chances when they came along. So Livi deserved that. But again, it's just 2-0. We went to Somerset Park last week and won 2-0. So
is it quite easy to find things to not cling on to, but things to show the players and show yourselves? The two obvious ones: you lost the first leg against Ayr and went through, and you went to Livy a couple of weeks ago and won.
Yeah, so those are because it's recent in the memory as well. It's quite easy. Again, when you're doing analysis and stuff like that, if it's a team you've not played recently, you're searching for stuff and we pinpoint stuff. This is the fourth time since Brian and I came in February that we've played Livy. So, you know, we've drew one, we've won one, we've lost one. And obviously the one we won was at their place. But obviously they're a good side, and that's what I think people should understand about Livy. They are well coached, they've got good players, they've got a good squad as well.
They do, don't they?
There's no getting away from that. You know, good players who've played either in the Premiership or know this division well. So it's going to be difficult, but can it be done? Of course it can be done.
As I like to say in the game, Mark, I think the next goal is so important.
Next goal is...
just you that says that again.
Yeah. I think that if you can get that... You talk about big moments, and I'm sure the guy that's been brilliant for you, co-manager with you, scoring all the goals... must have been so disappointed. That could have been a big game changer. Right,
did it the one at the end?
Yeah. Brian would have been disappointed. 9 out of 10, he puts that in the back of the net.
That's a sore one. He probably thought about it all night. But I said the other night, I mean, the team's relied so much on Brian in terms of goals that it's you can't be too critical. Look, it's up for grabs. You're right about the first goal. Mm-hmm. The first goal is going to be crucial tomorrow night. If we get it, I mean, we scored in 6 minutes against Ayr, and it changed the way the flow of that game, because Ayr were on top in that game. We scored and Ayr suddenly found it difficult, and we probably should have made it two before half time. And I look at that and think, if you can do it on that occasion, it certainly can be done at Livingston. But needless to say, we are going to have to be at our best. We're going to avoid injuries, which would be quite... good to state the obvious, and of course they might have to be off that wee bit, but all those things can happen.
Thank you, Aidan. It was weird, but it was enjoyable nevertheless. Aidan,
it's always good to meet your critics.
Thistle fan, and
you certainly met one tonight.
Serious critic of Mark Wilson, but good to have him on nevertheless. 01419511025. Good time to call. I keep saying it, Hearts fans and Kilmarnock fans, I think now in particular, how are you feeling? Are you feeling a bit annoyed now, or stung, or hurt, or whatever, by all this? The way it's playing out with Derek McInnes, he's not going to be your manager. You thought maybe it would be until the end of the season, and now won't be in the dugout this weekend. Give us your thoughts there. That's a big one to get through. Still plenty more to reflect on last night's games. And of course, there are other big managerial vacancies. How could we possibly forget? So 01419511025. That is the number that you need. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson and myself all here till 8 o'clock. We do apologise. Probably the last time I'll say it. We look so ridiculous with these matching white t-shirts on. Everyone in the live stream, I thought, you know what, face it head on, take the criticism. I put a picture of the three of us on Instagram.
Oh, that's good.
That's just what we need.
Everybody.
It's got to be you.
Do you know something? After Aidan's call, I'll take it.
You look like you've slept in that t-shirt. You do?
No, well, I slept in this afternoon.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's got that crinkle look that he's been rolling about and curled up.
Speaking of where he slept last night, right?
So, oh, yes.
Hold on a minute here.
No. I won't. It's not your fault.
Correct.
So, London's kind of weird, isn't it? Like the pub shut at like 11 o'clock.
Aye, last order.
So, luckily, the luxurious travel lodge we stayed in, the bar was open till 4. So,
bonus.
So everybody's back there. And there was actually quite a lively setup. There was other patrons in. And how am I going to get through this? So there was a couple, right?
Oh, I got already.
There was a couple from down south. And
were they from Wales?
They were from down south, right? And they seemed to take a real shining to Gordon, right? A real
a man and woman.
To,
yeah.
Right? They, and I don't know what they do in their spare time. I don't know what their hobbies are, right?
Yeah.
Aye.
I don't know for sure. But they seem to take a real shining to him.
All right.
Do you know where this is going?
No. What's your idea?
You know, I don't drink, so I'm sitting there. I'm the worst to be around, eh? Because I'm looking at all the signs here.
You can do,
and I'm calculating things, and I'm just thinking, right, this is, I don't like the direction this is heading in. Because they both took a real shining to him. They were both being very complimentary to him, right? And I'm sitting with my pizza on the other side of the desk thinking, this could be an absolute disaster. So, unlike him, he wasn't being he wasn't showing off.
Right.
He wasn't doing his usual thing. He was behaving. He was. He wasn't trying to attract it.
That's not. That's certainly not.
I know,
like,
exactly. But eventually, why are you here? And so, what do you mean? What do you do this? And he said, well, I said, he used to play for Rangers, and oh, they loved it. They were loving this, right?
Right.
And they start going, you're very impressive.
Who was the last person to ever say that to you?
Every word of this is true, right?
You're very impressive. What does that even mean?
You're very impressive.
All right.
And the guy says, comes to the woman and goes, I know my place here. You'd be better off with a guy like him. So I'm worried. I'm sweating bullets here. Cause I'm like,
so was that?
You'd be better.
He
off
said that to his missus.
She's going, oh, if I know my place, you'd be better off with a guy like him. So I'm it's getting out of hand. So Gordon's talking to the woman. She's very nice, obviously, and chatting away. And the guy leans over to me and he goes, tell you what, he's in good shape, isn't he?
No way! That can't be
promise,
true.
I promise, right? He's in good shape. So at this point, my head's going at the bottom. Like, yeah, he's. I say, does okay for a 63-year-old. And he goes, shoulders.
That's madness.
And it gets worse. There's one final line.
All right,
that was just the worst.
But she's looking into my eyes at this time.
There's the word that I can't say. And I don't know why this bit was so creepy. I don't know why this line I just thought was so weird. He goes, tell you what, he would kick out of me, wouldn't he?
What is going on there?
And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And he just goes, I tell you what, he would kick out of me, wouldn't he? Mate, I have no idea why.
He can put two and two together and
realise. I can see where this is going.
Yeah. I actually started feeling like he wanted, in some sort of twisted fantasy, I think he wanted Daz to beat him up.
That's exactly what it is.
And then I don't know whatever else would go on.
I know what would go on after that, but what happened then?
Nothing happened then.
That's great.
But I couldn't go to bed then. I couldn't disappear.
That's amazing. That's. That must be the nicest thing that's ever happened to you.
It wasn't nice.
No?
Let me tell you.
That's brilliant.
If it was nice, I'd still be down there.
Anyway, 01419511025.
Can't believe I didn't go.
We'll talk football when we return. 01419511025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are in the building. Time for you to get in touch with them. 01419511025. That's the number that you need. Good teaser tonight, thanks to David in Stirling. Well done to Lewis Ferguson.
Oh, amazing.
Scotsman,
yeah,
captaining Bologna to the Coppa Italia. Can you name the other nine players with the most Serie A appearances? So Scottish players, sorry. Yeah. So after Lewis Ferguson captaining Bologna to the Coppa Italia, can you name the other nine Scottish players with the most Serie A appearances?
Hickey
giving us
3-1.
Yep. Mark.
Is Doikman?
Yep.
We will go as Shea Adams one.
He is. Let's leave it there because there's plenty of time to get your answers in. Thank you to David and Stirling
for
sending it. I said leave it there and we'll get more later. Fulltime@clyde1.com is where you send your questions. So thank you to David in Stirling. Let's bring in Mark, who is a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, Mark?
3 points I want to make to Gordon DL. I want to miss the party for so managers to double Wilson.
Oh,
brilliant. Well done, mate.
I get him back on.
You're getting cut off in 2 seconds, Mark. Like that. Nonsense.
Well, I've got the experience.
Nah, come on.
Go, Mark. What else?
I was wanting to ask you about, obviously, how much Rangers would get for Dessers. I mean, he finished the top scorer in the Conference League a good few years ago with Feyenoord, 14 goals he scored. In the European competition, just to see how much rate I would actually keep him, because he has a good, he's like Tafferty, he gets the criticisms when things haven't gone right.
Yeah.
My second point is,
I'll answer the first point, Mark. Sorry.
Hold on, just quickly, because you asked the question, Mark, have you got a price in mind that you think he's worth?
say Dessers, I mean, for Kyoko, and Kyoko was nearly firing cylinders last year for Celtic, I would say 10 million.
Many?
10. Same as Kyogo.
Nah, I'm never getting 10 million for Dessers, never in a million years. I'm going down the road of, I would keep him. I'd do everything in my power to keep him. Even if you were bringing in other centre forwards. One thing I liked about him as well, when he was left out under Clement, he didn't shy away from it. He didn't go in the huff. He didn't upset the apple cart. He just plugged away. He come on, got his goals. Look, you need goal scorers in your team. 100%. Need goal scorers in your team. And I keep going back to it. Of course, he frustrates Rangers fans. But I think I'd rather look at the positive, the amount of goals he scores. And it's not just in the last two seasons. If you look at his record throughout his career, he's scored goals everywhere he's went. He knows where the back of the net is. Yes, he missed a few easy chances. Probably the argument is it's more than a few. But I would certainly, going forward next year, I would keep Cyril Dessers, because if you put better players round about him and you keep creating the chances, then you might just get a striker that maybe one in three becomes two in three, and it makes such a big difference.
Mark, if Kyogo's worth 10 million, why is Dessers not, says your namesake?
I can see the comparison. I mean, he's still scoring 20 plus a season. He's scoring in European competition as well. What age is he?
Same age.
Same age. Like, strikers come at a premium anyway. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody went. Well, if you're looking for a goal scorer and
10 million. It's funny because actually Mark's been, it's a clever suggestion up to a point. We'll maybe kind of pick holes if there are any in a second, but I was going to say, you sign him for what, 4 million or whatever, he's aged a couple of years, he's 30, you're just not getting 10 million for him. And then Mark said, well, Kyogo was the same age and that same figure.
I think Kyogo had better attributes. Yeah. He was certainly better technically, linked to play better, he plays a different way, and he scores goals. Of course, you've got all that, but
he had that extra kind of season as well to keep that going. And I think he was 85 goals, 160 games, yeah, something like that for Celtic. And, you know, goals that one again, but I accept that, well, he was in a better team than Dessers is fine, but it was still, you know, Gordon, it was goals that won Celtic games and won Celtic trophies. And I don't know, does that make a difference to a player's price tag or not?
Yeah, and I think his stock was very high at that time. And I can understand why somebody came in and paid the money. I just look at Dessers, and as much as I'm a massive fan of his, I don't think Rangers are going to claw back 10 million, you know, make a £6 million profit on him. I keep going back to it. For the money that they would get in for him, I would rather keep him in the building. I think he's a goal scorer. I think he'll get you. You put better players round about him next year, and he'll be banging you 20 plus goals again. No doubt about it.
It's just hard to judge and put prices on players, because that's just down to the club it's bidding, really, and how much Rangers value him if they want to keep him in the door. If they want to keep him, you know, it is going to take a good bid. But again, to state the obvious, if Rangers are wanting to shift them on, then it probably would be somewhere in the region of what they got them, what he bought them for. So it's a hard one. But in comparison, in terms of goals scored, he's done it in European competition. He has experience. He was, as Mark says here, he was one of the leading scorers in the Conference League a couple of years ago. That all amounts to a hefty transfer fee. But it's just who's willing to pay that.
What was your other point, Mark? I know you had something else to give us.
Quick point is what to make. I go to Ibrox every second week to obviously watch him at home, and I'm really disappointed in Tierney. His fitness is shocking. He's only lasting between 50-55 minutes, and you're talking about 5.5 for him. They actually sign him, when you sign him, see, when you watch him, his fitness is shocking. Honestly, he's out of breath, and he's legs goes. I know he's had two bad injuries, but I think 4 million's tops is 4 million.
I mean, he played 80 minutes last night, 90 at the weekend. Gordon, Mark goes every week, I'll take his word for it.
Yeah, Mark sees him in the flesh every second week or whatever it may be. I think he's a very talented player. I think he brings a lot to Rangers on the wide areas. He can then play a different position. You've seen away from home, he can play in to out. He plays in a little bit, links up with Desers, scores goals. It's just Mark's got a price tag there, and Mark's right. It's what the club's prepared to pay for him. Is he worth $6 million right now going forward? Is that the way Rangers want to trade in the future? These questions will be answered in the coming weeks, hopefully for Rangers fans, because I think everybody's desperate to see what road they're going to go down with the new takeover. But I think Tierney has obviously got something to offer you, no doubt.
Tierney, I've stayed before. No, well, I don't see the games in detail like Mark does probably every week. But I think back to, was it the Fenerbahce game? And he looked dead in his feet a bit, but he continued to go, and he was everywhere in the extra time, and I thought he gave his all. Was that the game that Danilo thought he was coming on, maybe? And he started punching the dugout, and Tierney stayed on. So he certainly lasted over those games. I think he offers a lot to Rangers. Now, £6 million or whatever it is a lot of money, especially where Rangers are at the minute. Now, when the takeover comes, that might look a whole lot different. That might be affordable. And I think when you've got players like Tierney, who's contributed a lot this season, creates a lot of chances, scores goals, then I think you do your all to keep him.
Mark, would you be happy if it was to be Davide Ancelotti as your manager, or would you like someone else?
Yeah, I'm going getting somebody that's just face of his dad, and when it's been way like Bayern Munich and going for guys like Sean Dyche and Rafa Benitez, and I would go for that guy. He's got the experience in Europe with high level teams, you know what I mean?
So not concerned this would be his first managerial job, you think it could all work?
Yeah, because we've done it with Graeme Souness. Alright, Souness brought in a couple of internationals in 1986 in Walter Smith. We saw obviously Jim McLean's number two at Dundee United. But obviously Souness brought internationals, but the Rangers could go and buy better players.
Yeah, listen, it's a fair point, and it's going to rumble on, I suspect. So what do you make of it out there now, Rangers fans? I mean, was it Barry Ferguson's last home game in charge? I feel like most people say yes, but not everyone, judging by some of the calls we've had this week. So let's hear from the current interim Rangers manager as he's reflecting on his times over the piece.
Got a few more wrinkles, I've got a few more grey hairs, that's for sure. But listen, I've loved every minute of it. I knew it wasn't going to be perfect when I came in, but I was willing to take that challenge on. And it has had its challenges, believe me. It's been challenging. But as I said, every day I drive into that training centre, every day I walk through the front doors, it's a privilege to be here and work here. And it's not over yet. So we've still got one game, and you never know what's round the corner.
You never know. Is that the door being left open?
Well, he's got a couple of good ones. He needed that home one, didn't he? That was an important one for him. He got it against Aberdeen and then kicked on last night. Got a difficult away trip to Hibs this weekend. Barry's always been confident in his own ability, and rightly so, because he could back it up in the pitch as a player. So he feels like he can back it up now as a manager in the dugout. I still say that Rangers will not go down that road. I don't think it will be Barry Ferguson. I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans out there would probably argue against me and say they would love it to be Barry. But I like the way he talks. I think he's handles the situation well. But I don't think Rangers will go down that road with Barry Ferguson.
I have to agree. I mean, it's a tough situation he's been in, and to a much smaller extent. I'm kind of going through the same myself as an interim. So you can only try your best and try and get your message across to the players, and then obviously the players have got to buy into what you're saying, and they ultimately should take the credit, or they should get the criticism, I think. So it's been difficult for Barry Ferguson. The standards he holds are so high. Daz is right. As a player, he was exceptional. But the frustration comes for him is the players just probably can't carry out the instructions or what he's wanting at the minute. So it's going to need surgery, the squad. And I probably agree with Daz. It doesn't look like he's going to be the man in place to do that surgery. But I'm saying you never know what's around the corner. I just wonder what that looks like. Maybe not as manager, but is he going to be part of an Ancelotti coaching team is he going to be about?
Can't say. I think the way Barry handles himself is he's got that taste of being that number one wee staff, and
he's pretty much said himself as well. He's kind of he wants to be the Rangers manager or.
And there's nothing up with that. I think you've got to respect him for that. That's the way he wants to go. He feels that that's his strength with his coaching staff. And you know,
why would you then, if you want to help Rangers and you're a right Rangers man like Barry Ferguson, why would it be manager or back to ambassador? Why would there not be, I want to be in the grass, actually, I want to...
Well, the role's not entirely different. I mean, you'll know more than me, and I don't know what the split is right now, but as an example, if Barry Ferguson isn't really doing all of the coaching right now and is the manager and is the figurehead, why on earth would you then make that guy the coach under
if he's asked, I mean, that's... Well, yeah, you probably wouldn't have. You'd identified him just as a figurehead.
Ego is not the right word because that sounds quite critical, but just, you know, if you've been there, you've been the manager.
Well, again, that's up to Barry Ferguson. That's what I mean,
though, doesn't it?
Probably does, but depends in what capacity he wants. Does he just want to be the figure? Does he not want to coach? I thought a guy as youngish as Barry Ferguson would still want to have a hand in coaching, and if he got offered, which I'm not saying he has been, to be part of a team. Why would you not enjoy that? Why would you not like to do that? I totally understand what you're saying, because he doesn't fit that mould.
No, I don't know. Again, I'm not at the training ground. I've no idea. But I just feel like what he said before, Gordon, he kind of outlined it, just wants to be...
Yeah, he wants to be the main man, standing in the dugout, standing outside, making all the decisions. He wants to be able to pick the team. He wants his coaching staff to work with him. As I said, nothing up with that. I know how some managers feel. I don't see Barry taking that step back to be the coach.
Do you think it would then be
sitting
difficult
in the dugout while somebody else is making the decisions? I don't see it happening.
Say it as Davide Ancelotti, and you're right. You know, you're our man, and we are reportedly fought off interest from other clubs, and you've coached here and there, and this is this new project, and come in. Oh, but by the way, you know, meet your new coach or meet your new assistant. It just feels like that would be unlikely, no?
Yeah, and I think if you're a new man coming in, if it's Ancelotti, you will have your own staff coming in with you as well, Gordon. And you look at a guy like Barry and think, you want to be the manager. I don't think it's a good fit, you know, and that's why I think Barry would say, go back to ambassador.
How are you doing in this teaser, thanks to David and Stirling? After Lewis Ferguson captained Bologna to the Coppa Italia, can you name the other 9 Scottish players with the most Serie A appearances? You've got Lewis Ferguson's already on it. You've got Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey and Shea Adams.
McTominay must be one.
Yes.
Gilmore, like Taz says.
Yes, and we'll get the rest of the answers very soon. Where are you, Hearts fans, Killy fans? We're going to talk Derek McInnes. A bit of a messy end to the season. How do you feel about it all? Take your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard on 0141 951 1025. There is still time to squeeze those calls in. I keep saying it, Hearts fans, but mostly Kilmarnock fans, how do you feel now about how this is playing out with Derek McInnes? I'll give you the full story in a second, but obviously the headline is that he will not be in the dugout this weekend. So what do you make of it all? St Johnstone fans, I know we don't hear from loads of you here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but a 16-year relationship with the top flight has come to an end for now. It's been some ride. You've reached European football and won multiple cup competitions in that time. How do you look at it now, especially with the confirmation today that you will stick with the manager? Give us a call, please. On your teaser tonight, thanks to David and Stirling. And a quick reminder, as always, if you want to send your questions in, please send them on email to fulltime@clyde1.com. So, after Lewis Ferguson captained Bologna to the Coppa Italia, can you name the other 9 players with the most Serie A appearances? You've got Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey, Shea Adams, Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmore.
Is Liam Henderson one?
He is top.
Is he?
More than anyone,
didn't he?
He's played for Verona. He's at Empoli. He's still going strong.
He's another Scottish. Did Jack Henry play in Italy?
Not long enough to be on this list.
Right, okay.
Joe Jordan.
Yes.
Well, right, leave Jordan's it there. There soon as he's there.
Right, okay, we've only got one to get, so we'll leave it there. We'll get it before the end of the show. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. A reminder of that email address. Let's hear a bit from Chris Burke, because he is going to be in interim charge of Kilmarnock this weekend. And again, what are your thoughts on the Derek McInnes scenario? Let's hear from Chris Burke first.
You know, we can only be thankful for what Derek McInnes has done for the football club, and his staff members as well. It's been a long journey, but a good journey, in my opinion. If you really think about it, his first game was at Queen of the South away, and then we were playing at Copenhagen away. So that just tells you the achievements that he'd done at the football club. So, and I know we'll act in the right way as a football club. We'll be respectful, and we know that when we go back on it and reflect in the seasons that it's been successful. So from my own point of view, it's been a little bit strange, I'm not going to lie. But one that ultimately in football you just have to take it on and go for it. And whatever you've been asked from the board or whatever who's asked you is that the fact that I need to help the players. You know, we've got a game to prepare for against a good team. So as much as that happens in football, where you're unfortunately losing good people and good staff, and I would like to think we'll be friends for the rest of our lives, that if we have to move on quickly.
So Kilmarnock revealed today Derek McInnes won't be in charge of the final match against Hearts. It's always heading towards a potentially awkward situation either way. He is due to move to Tynecastle. The club's agreed terms this week. There were sort of, was it like anti-Hearts songs or, you know, kind of some personal stuff aimed at Derek McInnes at Fir Park last night when Kilmarnock lost 3-0. So it's now been agreed he won't take his place in the dugout. Paul Sheeran and Alan Archibald, his coaching staff, also not involved. That's why Chris Burke could be heard from, and Craig Clark will manage the team in their absence. How do you feel this is all playing out?
Right decision for me. We said on Tuesday night, I think, with Marv, I would have probably removed him. Not in the fact that, you know, Derek would have done his job professionally as he possibly could. Obviously, going to Fir Park last night and losing three isn't great, because the Kilmarnock fans then turn against you because they know you're leaving for another club. But I think it's the right decision for everybody. For Derek, for his staff, for Hearts, for Kilmarnock. It's one game. Listen, I was listening to Burke there. He's very well thought of down there as a coach, doing very well indeed. The fans really take to him. Don't rule him out the running for me.
Yep, I think that's spot on. I was just about to say that. They can do a lot worse than looking at him. Chris has done a fantastic job there. He obviously has a long history with the club and just won the Youth Cup, playing a very attractive style of football. So he must be in with a shout. But for Derek McInnes, how it played out, I think it's the right choice at the end of the day, especially that awkward situation you get the two clubs facing off. But for anybody to think that he would have approached it in an unprofessional manner this last week are well wide of the mark. Just football coaches and managers just don't, you know, buy into that stuff.
Was it all just a bit too awkward now, though? Is it best just
For this game coming up? Sure. Oh, of course, without doubt.
Let's bring in Charlie, who's a Kelly fan. How are you feeling about it all now, Charlie?
Well, I'd firstly like to thank Derek McInnes for all his work he's done in the last couple of years with Kilmarnock. I'm a bit happy that he's gone. Just a bit of a refreshment for Kilmarnock. I think Chris Burke will be a completely different style of football to Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes was just long ball, week in, week out. Derek McInnes had favourites when he was at Kilmarnock. He's seen it this season and last season. He's got favourites with Marley Watkins, Kyle Fussell, and others. I think that Chris Burke will be a much better a manager than Derek McInnes.
It sounds like you don't think he did a particularly good job, Charlie. I mean, he did take you from the Championship to Europe quite quickly, didn't he?
He did, but at the same time, it wasn't a great brand of football. That's why I think that when we had Steve Clark, the brand of football, it was more of a style to it than there was with Derek McInnes. It was just hoof it up the park and try and get something from it. And I think that it'll be interesting on Sunday to see how Chris Burke lines up.
I mean, the notion that Chris Burke in a couple of days plays some vastly different style with the same group of players, I think it's probably a lot to ask on. There's not even any point in it, really. If you're Chris Burke, you're just getting into the game. I don't even know what the Kilmarnock's schedule is, but they might be off tomorrow. Would that be right, potentially? Game on Sunday, played last night. They're not going to suddenly play a different brand.
No.
As I said to Charlie, though, doesn't sound like Charlie thinks Derek McInnes did a particularly good job.
I sort of disagree. I think Derek's done a good job down at Kilmarnock. Where I do agree with Charlie, sometimes you need that different approach. Supporters for the new season coming, whether it be for players, a new voice in the dressing room, a new challenge, a freshness, everything about it. And as Charlie was talking about there, a new coach coming in, given time to work in the pre-season and maybe adapting to a new style of play, but he needs time to work with it. Burke will not just turn around and go, right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to change every single thing for one game. I'm going to ask you to do things that you've not been doing all season. There'd be absolutely no point in that. He'll oversee it, but we get back to it. If you're commanding and you're sitting looking at someone like him, Mark touched on the fact that won the Youth Cup, good style of football, well-liked down there. There'll be a lot of good candidates in for that job. Let's not be kiddied here. But you wouldn't rule him out.
Is it soured a bit, Charlie, the way it's played out this week, or was this just inevitable? Is this all part of it?
I'll be honest, mate. I never liked Derek McInnes when he got first appointed. Mm. I wasn't too happy because he just signs the repetitive players. So he signed all these ex-Aberdeen players hoping they'd do a job. Right, fair enough, they have. But at the same time, it's just we were cruising that game when we were 10 men last night. We were still attacking, going for shots. He makes a sub and he brings off a striker. Brings off a striker for no reason. It's a dead rubber game. Why not just keep two strikers on and just go for it and look what happened? We get beat 3-0. He plays far too defensive, Derek McInnes, and he doesn't make subs at all, really.
I think some of this is emotionally driven, Mark. Can we listen to Charlie? To be fair, has been honest. He's saying he's never liked Derek McInnes, so that's fine. I was starting to get that impression. Once all the emotion goes out of this, that's a good job, isn't it? I mean, if you take over a team in the Championship and you take them to Europe, and then yes, the next season's not as good, but part of that is probably because you couldn't handle Europe, you know, at the start of the season. I'm not saying his style was brilliant. If Charlie didn't like the style, fine. You know, history will reflect pretty well on it, will it not?
I think it's an exceptional job he's done to take a team through the Championship where Killie were languishing until he came in. And, you know, he got the tag of a top manager in this country for the work he done with Aberdeen. And it was a big jump for him. Going to Kilmarnock, who are a good-sized club, but they were in the Championship. That was a big step for him. So it was all to lose for Derek McInnes. But he turned it around, he transformed it, took them up and into Europe. A remarkable return. But you're right, the squad wasn't built for dealing with, you know, three or four different competitions, and they've suffered this season. So I think it's a good fit for all, both of them going their separate ways. I think Hearts have got a good manager, and I think Kelly fans like Charlie will look forward to a freshness next year.
If the name that seems to be getting bandied about the most is Stephen Naismith, and there are obvious links there, he's been a Hearts manager and finished third, and we know his history at Kilmarnock and all that sort of stuff. If there's that, and Charlie and yourselves all feeling pretty positive about Chris Burke, what about that duo where Chris Burke goes beneath Stephen Naismith from the under-18s?
It will be interesting to see what direction they go. They brought in Derek because Derek was an experienced football manager. I wouldn't say that Stephen Naismith right now would come under that category.
He certainly seems the favourite, though, for the job, I think.
I think it was because of all the connections you touched on. You know, he's been at Kilmarnock before. He's had a bit of taste of it at Hearts. It'll be interesting to see if they go down that road. But, look, we've seen it before. We second-guess who Motherwell would bring in, for instance, when that job was up. We've seen other jobs before this.
Right, we're almost out of time. Finish the teaser for me. The top 10 Scottish players with the most Serie A appearances: Liam Henderson, Lewis Ferguson, Graeme Souness, Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey, Joe Jordan, Shea Adams, Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmore. Very easy.
Are we going right back?
No.
Dennis Law.
Easy as that. Two men at the top of their game when it comes to quizzing. Well done, Mark Wilson.
Thank you.
Gordon Dale, apologies again for the absolute eyesore that was the three of us wearing matching T-shirts, but hopefully it didn't put you off too much. We are back tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.